Nouvelle Vague could be better defined.
It's Flixin' That with Steve Newell on 95BFM.
Okay, nothing like a film snob quote to really, be the preamble to a discussion about Bruce Willis.
We've got a few of them up our sleeve as well. So
it's very nice. So, Johnny, you just watched Die Hard 2.
I watched Die Hard 2, and
it's a fantastic movie.
It actually holds up really well. What was really interesting for me, Steve, was to look at the Wikipedia page and to learn that in 1990 it cost $80 million to make. And that would have to be one of the most expensive movies at the time.
How many dollars do you think that is roughly in notes that don't have Donald Trump's face on them? Like, I presume all American banknotes do now.
I have no idea, Steve. But the reason I was going, I was
Blockbuster
sort of, it was blowing my mind because I knew Solo, another great film, cost $250 million to make, the most recent Star Wars. And apparently that's one of the more expensive, on the more expensive side of movies, $250
million. I think probably the cocaine budget on Solo was a bit less than the cocaine budget on Die Hard 2, though, frankly.
Was Bruce Willis in Solo?
Well,
sure.
He could have been.
I haven't seen it. Sorry, guys.
No, he wasn't.
Die Hard 2, $80 million in 1990, massive budget. Non-stop action, Bruce Willis delivering the goods. What an actor!
cementing a dynasty that is Die Hard, probably in the second one.
It was only a couple of years after the first Die Hard, which in itself he was a TV star.
Which one has Gruber in it? Hans Gruber.
It's the first one.
Okay,
that's the first one. So Willis was a TV star thanks to Moonlighting, but he wasn't really, like, he wasn't an action guy until Die Hard, and that was only, he'd only made a couple of films previously to that. So the whole reason that movie works so well is because he's not an action guy, you know, like he's
right.
A Joe Schmo running around getting his feet cut on broken glass.
Who was saying he was a comedian? Who said that?
I had read
that. Because there's heaps of gags in these movies.
Yeah, totally. And Moonlighting is very much of that kind of ilk as well. Like, it's a private detective romantic comedy TV show.
Right.
So it kind of, like, has a bunch of the stuff that he draws on for
Dryad. I thought he was just Moonlighting, and you didn't explain the rest of it. It's fine. I didn't know he was in anything called Moonlighting.
Yeah, so
I don't know anything about Bruce Willis, I'm sorry.
That was the telly show that he starred in alongside Cybill Shepherd. But then Die Hard kind of changed everything. I think Die Hard changed a lot for action movies in general because it was around that time, it was in 88, and the landscape was defined by Schwarzeneggers and Stallones and stuff, and there's kind of like unreal beefcake guys.
Yeah, apparently.
But I think that period was starting just to kind of come to a bit of an end. Like, people were, they're still fun movies to watch, but as soon as you saw like an everyman kicking ass against terrorists in a skyscraper in a bloody singlet, it sort of changed things quite a lot.
Yeah, and apparently, he's kind of pretty standard in his shape, eh? Like,
yeah.
So he's like
a
regular Joe, balding ass, kicking ass.
Arnie had said no to Die Hard, apparently, what I'd read. So it's interesting that apparently the director was very apprehensive to get Bruce Willis on board.
Really?
But I tell you what, he delivered the goods, didn't he?
He did deliver the goods, but that hasn't really been a constant thing through his career. You know, he's pretty wobbly, and he's had more career resurrections than I think sort of many other actors, most other actors that you could name. Because it seems like every few years, he'll have a couple of hits, then fall out of favor for a while, have a run of shitters, and then out of the blue something will happen. Like a real case in point, he sort of blew all of his Die Hard 1 and 2. Credibility, making a sort of string of big budget flops, including Hudson Hawk, which he wrote, where he's a heist master who does robberies while singing songs, particularly sort of like show tune songs.
Is Goldie Hawn in that?
No, Goldie Hawn's not in that, but she fucking could have been. Might as well have been. But then he came back that same year with The Last Boy Scout, which is
that's a good one. It's a
the
football
maestro
one.
Shane Black, and also a record holder for the most
I
use
thought that
of
was
the
a
word.
Good. I think that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, I have
and
a good memory
it held the record for the most use of the word fuck in a motion picture.
Shit, yeah.
Which is a good record to have. And then he went and blew all that kind of capital again.
Which is the Die Hard with Samuel L. Jackson in?
That's the third one. It's Die Hard with a Vengeance. When they went off book,
motherfucker,
started making weird titles.
Is it pre or post.
I like that one.
Fiction.
That was a good one. That was a real good one.
That is immediate. Like, it's pretty much immediately post.
So he's had two good films.
Which one's Christmas Time?
Die Hard 3.
Is one Christmas Time? One of them's a Christmas movie, yeah. This
one
franchise.
One and two are both Christmas movies.
That's something to think about, eh? Like, that's a grunty Christmas movie, eh? Not everyone's falling in love and stuff. It's good on them, you know?
And actually, funny mentioning Shane Black, because completely coincidentally, like, pretty much all of his films are set at Christmas as well. There's a good bunch of action movies you can watch on Christmas Day instead of Christmas films.
And what's the general consensus on The Sixth Sense?
Oh, it's bloody good, mate. It's bloody good. I think that's what it says on Rotten Tomatoes. It's bloody good.
Not bad for Ghostbusters 4.
What?
Indeed. Sixth Sense is another sort of segue of why it's a good reason to talk about Bruce Willis at the moment, because that also co-starred Toni Collette, who was nominated for an Oscar in that spooky movie, and she's also in the spooky movie I raved about last week, which was Hereditary.
Oh man,
it's all coming full circle, guys.
People have been caning about that movie. I haven't watched it yet. I haven't had the chance.
There's been some spirited arguments. I really enjoyed it. Some devilish opinions about it.
Now, just to wrap up Bruce Willis, is there anything in anything past the 90s that is essential Bruce Willis?
Oh, Jesus. Shit, yes. The director of this fell out of favor as well, M. Night Shyamalan, but he made a movie called Unbreakable, which was another teaming of Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
And that's pretty mint. Like, it sort of... It came before the kind of wave of Marvel superhero films, and it's quite like a what if superheroes were everyday people
sort of
story.
Yeah, it kind of deals with the complexity of being, if you were sort of immortal.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's a really good watch, and for those of you who saw M. Night Shyamalan's film Split, starring James McAvoy, a couple of years ago, the ending of that had me literally cheering in a cinema when a certain gentleman called Bruce Willis popped up at the ending there. And having a quick look at the films he's got coming up, really, like the last couple of years, it's mostly direct-to-DVD, direct-to-VOD shit. It's just, he's lazy and he makes dumb action movies.
I thought Bruce Willis was in that movie, and it wasn't. It was Matt Damon in my mind. That sort of says something, I think.
Do you reckon that's rougher on Bruce Willis or rougher on Matt Damon?
I don't know.
Because I reckon it's probably rougher on Matt Damon, who's arguably a bit more in the prime of his life.
I just don't know. I'm just saying.
I think that's rougher on Bruce Willis's legacy.
His Wikipedia says he has military interests, and then it really starts to get quiet.
He's also got musical interests, but we'll skip right past those because they're fucking awful. But yeah, apart from director...
Steven Seagal next week, though.
Yeah, totally. Just
he can play.
Cut from the same cloth.
He can play.
But by all means, find a video store that exists and go and watch his shit action movies. One thing I'm super excited for is... Early next year is another M. Night Shyamalan. It's a film called Glass, and it ties together both Unbreakable and Split.
I like when
and
movies
gonna
do
be
this.
With Bruce Willis.
Freaking mint, yeah.
Oh, wow. I have to go back and watch Unbreakable now, Steve.
Yeah, I reckon Unbreakable, that's my...
How old's Bruce Willis now?
Oh.
Still pretty good, Nick?
No.
Good enough to wear a Superman costume? Yep.
What? Where?
What?
Well, he's
really?
he will be a fully fledged superhero by this stage, won't he?
He'll just be wearing some rumpled clothes and frowning, won't he? Isn't that what he sort of generally does? Watch Unbreakable this weekend. In terms of new releases, there's only one and it's not good, so don't see Tag. Stay home, make yourself extremely comfortable on the couch, watch Unbreakable, and then follow it up with Split.
Sweet.
Done.
All right, Armageddon. Fuck, that was mad.
Dude,
I loved Armageddon.
There's just so many.
What are we going to do? Let's go to the asteroid and... so good. And the best bit about those movies is when they... where are they? I don't know. I'll go find them. And they're all doing the raddest crap. Yeah, man.
Spoken like a true Ben Affleck completist. Hungry?
But thank you very much, Steve.
All good. See you guys next week.
Toodle pip.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.